When there's work that needs done beyond the walls of Founders Wake, that work must first pass through the sliding glass doors of the Blue Span Brokerage. This exceedingly modern office building towers over the rest of the gills, the city's sprawling port district where submersible vessels are built, maintained, and launched into the ether sea. At the Blue Span Brokerage, dealers and dispatchers connect clients and contractors, facilitating the dangerous and necessary business of deep sea adventuring. The company's superstar brokers ensure fair compensation and relatively safe conditions for their away teams, and for their diverse array of clientele, they offer the traditional guarantee of a job well done. Adventurers who can secure a position as a Blue Span contractor will never find themselves lacking in work, and those who prove themselves capable of handling the city's most challenging jobs will never find themselves lacking in anything. Those positions, though, are as limited as the dock space available within the gills. When the brokerage is hiring, you can guarantee that anyone with dreams of finding their fortunes in the waters surrounding Founders Wake will hear about it. That's what has brought the three of you into the office of Ravi Montrell, an ambitious, silver-tongued Blue Span broker seeking new contractors to add to his Rolodex. After waiting in a posh lobby filled with competing would-be adventurers, the three of you have been called into his office, greeted with the flashiest smile, and asked to take your respective seats. Ravi Montrell looks up from the clipboard he's been poring over for the last few minutes and looks up at the three of you with amusement and says, "Well, I like ya. I like what I'm reading." The three of you, and I don't use this word lightly, you got a lot of promise, a lot of potential. And I think we could have a lucrative and long-lasting relationship built on trust and respect. And I'm over the moon, but let's compartmentalize a bit, as we say, in the world of business, the business world. Let's start with Devo LeMaine. Am I saying that right?
I'm sorry, Griffin, before we start, can you tell me anything about this world? Like, how does magic work? What do they
Sure.
How did we get the, like, how did we get...
Seven millennia ago when the Dragon War began...
Yeah.
Go listen to the. Listen, I know we said that the prequel episodes weren't going to be necessary to listen to.
Psych.
hey, stupid. If they weren't necessary, why do we make them?
Oh.
Use your fucking noggin next time, okay?
Oh, boy.
Okay, sorry. I didn't listen to them. I'll go back and check that out. Let's pause.
Right.
Oh, shit. Those were really good.
They were worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Walk me in again, Griffin.
Someone said they were a little dry. On Instagram. It's like they're the wettest possible episode.
Yeah.
Unfathomably wet.
Devo LeMaine. Am I saying that right?
This is very close. Devo LeMaine.
It's not too late.
LeMaine?
It's not too late to switch. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, you could. Travis, you have like one grace cough where you could be like,
excuse me, I don't know what happened to my regular voice.
No, I've been practicing this for a long time. This is how Devo LeMaine talks. This Devo LeMaine.
That's going to take me some practice, but I'm going to get there right with you. Devo, it says here you have recently become uncloistered, which is not something I thought could happen to a man of the cloth like yourself.
Well, it took a lot of effort. It was not something that happened by their choice, but by mine. So it is not something that normally happens, no.
How long have you been in Founders Wake with us? Have you tried the goulash?
Oh, I have been here for about 3 months at this point, and I have thoroughly enjoyed the stick of fish. You know this?
Fish sticks and goulash are two main delicacies.
Yes.
It sounds like you've got everything you need to know about this city. Fish sticks and goulash. Not much else going on.
There's a lot more here. Is this joke? Yes.
Did they not joke in the cloister where Devo LeMaine was raised?
He was raised pretty much without companionship.
Oh, wow.
The only companions he really had were instructors.
Okay.
And so, they were, as you might imagine, in strict religious instruction, not super wacky.
Right. So Devo LeMaine is was raised in the Benevolent Parish, sect that joined the Shoreside community and was a sort of founding part of Founders Wake. Mm-hmm. And you know, follows the teachings of the Vestige Benevolence.
Loosely.
Yes, there was a fracture there.
And he is also, as you alluded to, no longer as directly connected to them.
Yes.
As he once was. He's kind of struck out on his own now.
And we are calling him an orator.
Right.
So instead of him being a sort of priest-like character, he is a bard.
Yes, correct. Cool. A bard whose instrument is spoken word.
A religious bard, much like Stephen Curtis Chapman. So you're playing a French...
And that's appropriate, because this will be the Great Adventure.
Great Adventure. Indeed.
Saddle up your horses.
This is like the second, maybe third podcast we've actually talked about. I can't do that.
Yeah, it's true.
I also
good Christian
say,
funnel, Sue.
Yeah, yes. I know.
Just because I don't think we've ever said this explicitly about any Adventure Zone character, Devo is very pretty. I just want to throw that out there. I've been thinking
sure
about it.
I opened up I introduced Fitzroy as a handsome
fellow. No, highly sexual is how I believe
which
you.
Was, yeah.
No,
that was wrong. Okay, so that is Devo. Okay, Devo, I like that. I'm seeing a name on here that I'm also really excited about. I'm just going to take a run at it if you don't mind. Zooks.
Oui? It is Zooks?
No, come on.
Oh, no.
Zooks alone.
We should have talked about this. Weird.
My real name is Fish Dicks Goulash. No, it's Zooks. How you doing?
Pretty good. I gotta say, I love your sort of, I don't know if this is inappropriate to say, but your coral is lovely. It's branching off in sort of interesting patterns, and it's a bouquet, of color that I'm really enjoying.
When I was constructed, when I came to be, they went with different types of coral.
Mm.
So
a sort of goulash of coral, if you will.
A goulash. That's why my nickname is Fish Dicks Goulash.
Right. Sure.
My head, as you are looking at right now, is a brain coral, so it kind of looks like a face.
Like that, kinda. Yeah.
In my eyes, I am also very pretty. But,
sure.
Okay, well...
And in the Lord's eyes. And it says here that you've got a bit of cartography experience. Tell me about... I want to hear more about that.
Well, I consider myself a mariner.
Mm. Technically we all are. We live in an undersea city.
True. True,
be submarination, then.
That's fine, yes.
I'm a submariner. I'm just kind of an explorer, I don't know. I really kind of embrace, the unknown. I like exploring our world.
Well, you've come to the right place. Zooks is a Brynar. Do you want to give folks a very quick rundown on what the Brynar are?
Basically, the
you
Brynar
can you can
is,
speak in your Clint voice if you want. This is Griffin asking.
Einar Plateau was wiped out by this mysterious, terrible disaster, and
well, it was like a spell that essentially spirited everyone away to this other plane, and some spirits made their way back and needed bodies, and so
the scientists were able to construct these coral based robot bodies and infused them with the souls of the deceased Einar. Of course, the first Brynar, as everybody knows who listened to the first five, was Tessellation.
Right.
And it's not an easy process imbuing the constructs. So there aren't a whole lot of Brynar.
And also
we basically function underwater very well.
The Brynar require a certain amount of exposure to ether sea water, and we can figure out like what that looks like. It's not like you all have fish bowls around your head.
This ain't
parts.
SpongeBob.
It ain't SpongeBob, folks.
No, if there's one thing I want you to know about Ether Sea, folks, it's that this shit ain't SpongeBob.
This ain't your dad's SpongeBob.
It's
SpongeBob-ish.
There was a SpongeBob I watched where, like, there was a big pool of water that got...
What?
Yeah. The SpongeBob I watched where there were puddles that played a factor in it. And I was tripping out.
Yeah.
I was like, kids, are you seeing this?
Puddles of air?
They're maybe? Puddles of what? I don't know. Worse water? Wetter water?
So Zooks is Brian Art. One other thing about the Brian Art is it's sort of hard to manifest inside of one of these bodies. And so typically the souls that have come into it are usually many souls or several souls that have combined into one sort of identity, one sort of personality. Mm-hmm. We don't have to iron this out, but that's just something to think about for Zooks. It's like, how
is your fucking battle class?
Oh, yes.
Ranger.
Yes. You are a
Ranger.
Ranger.
And we're kind of using a Warforged build.
Yeah, for Zooks. The you know, race and ancestry stuff in D&D Beyond, we are essentially just taking a lot of liberties with. I basically told you all to just, you know, pick one that had sort of interesting stuff for you. But Warforged definitely has some stuff there that will come in handy there. And Zooks, just a fun mnemonic device for the spelling for folks at home. It's Zoo X, the cool zoo. Where there's no walls or cages or anything, man. They just let all the animals out, and good luck. Here's some
popcorn.
These
animals are going to the moon.
This is Zoo X. And
the journal.
Yeah.
Okay, I fixed it now.
Cool. Okay.
It's like a fucking shareware puzzle game.
Oh, I should have mentioned before about Devo, because this is important. He only has 9 hit points currently, so I imagine if someone sneezes in his direction, he'll fly apart.
Yeah, I started you all out as level ones, and we'll, you know, if you survive your
first
thing.
It feels like you're making me play as a baby, as a toddler baby.
Well, I've decided.
But my fontanelle hasn't closed up yet.
Okay. All right. So,
I got to tell you something. I brought up the wrong character sheet. I was looking at Argo thinking that I was looking at Zooks, and it said 94 hit points. And I said, I could kick Travis's ass.
Yeah.
You could talk me to death.
Yeah.
Which is kind of my thing.
And looks like our last name here, Miss Amber Gree. It's nice to meet you. It says here you've got proficiency in punching and kicking.
Yeah, get aside, Gubby.
I'm sorry. Let me clear out my ears a little bit. And can you say that one more time? And I'll scoot a little bit forward.
Kelasai means hello, Finners. We got our own kind of way of talking. Kelasai means hello. And I called you Gubby because it indicates a lack of respect.
That's great. I love that in a job interview setting.
Hey, settle a bet for me, Gubby. You soft or fancy?
Can I not be both?
I can tell from your way of talking it's one, and I need to know if you're soft or if you's fancy. Gubby.
I like to think of myself as fancy in a business setting, but soft when I get home.
So you're going to be the boss man, is that right?
If all goes well for you, I'm starting to feel like I'm the one interviewing for a position right now.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful power play. Wait a minute. Are you the shark slayer, Amber Gree?
Well, I ain't done so much of the slaying lately because I killed him so good the first time. But that is me, yes, Amber Gree.
I'm getting a little bit of a serial killer vibe from Amber currently. I don't know if that's intentional.
I'm getting everything I need from Amber Gree right now. Amber, this is Griffin talking. Justin, Amber is an older member of the team who was on the shore 25 years ago,
yes.
Part of the Shoreside community. Talk a little bit about her.
Amber
background.
Joined up with, and boy, this is going to seem pretty out of left field if you didn't listen to the prologue episode.
If you did listen to the prologue, this? Justin introduced an NPC, and you were probably like, he's going to have something to do with the NPC he just introduced, and you're not.
And you were right.
Yeah,
you're right. So old Joshy was a sort of charlatan up on the shore that started a school for psychic warriors to battle blink sharks, which used to be a problem
in the old world of sharks that could teleport. So he founded a school of psychic warriors that could fight the blink sharks.
And they're not like our real world sharks, which you know, have a tendency to be villainized by the human world. These sharks were real jagoffs.
Yeah.
No, blink sharks were real jagoffs. And everyone assumed sort of that old Jossie was leading these psychic warriors to their deaths. But they managed to beat the blink sharks in part because we haven't I wouldn't want to decide this unilaterally, you know, but it seems like old Joshy really didn't have quite the mastery of psychic abilities that he claimed to.
What?
I know, but Amber did discover some sort of latent ability within herself when she was out there.
Right.
And she is a monk. You know, that is the closest approximation. She's obviously not, you know, there's no monks in this world, but that is the style. She's sure. been, living, you know, she stuck around with after they beat the blink sharks. She sort of continued to hang around with the other finners as they call themselves and wait for the inevitable return of the blink sharks.
Yeah, we've talked. Joshy has his own district in the city called Joshy's Knuckle, where the psychic shark fighting school definitely still has some sort of footprint, although I imagine that footprint is filled with cobwebs, and Amber is probably one of the sole practitioners of the art at this point.
So has she taken like a position of leadership
It's always been somewhat paramilitary, and it's more para than military at this point.
It's para. They already have a paramilitary organization called the Iron Welks in the city. So this is like para paramilitary.
Yeah, more fraternity, I would say, at this point. You know what I mean? It's like the Elks Lodge of shark hunters.
Yeah.
You know? Mm,
yeah.
So not a leadership in any sense other than like, she has tried to keep people in fighting shape and ready to.
And she was an adult in the Shoreside community, and that was 25 years ago. So I don't think they've decided her age, but she is, you know.
It's not crazy old like dad, but, you know.
Hey.
Older. Wow.
Sure. How long in are we? This might be a new record for an age joke.
All right.
Not an age joke. A dad joke.
It's important. We're making fun of specifically you.
Okay, I feel better about
that.
Okay,
cool.
All right.
In the long run.
It is worth noting that you're reminding me, Diva is 23, so has
Yes, you were born into the cloister, essentially, okay. Correct. And Zooks, how long ago was Zooks sort of amalgamated?
Long. Yeah. Okay. Not very long.
We don't have to get more specific than that if you don't want to. We'll figure it out. Okay. Ravi Montrell smiles at you. Amber looks back at the clipboard, shakes his head a few times, and says, all right, I'm going to show my cards here. We've got some pretty standard paperwork we got to fill out, mostly formalities at this point, before we can start discussing the terms of our contract, you know, liability waivers, boring stuff like, your ship. I didn't even ask about your ship. A crew's just as good as the ship they pilot, and vice versa. So, what are you working with?
I'm going to make the first roll of the game here.
Okay.
And say that Devo is going to look to Amber to figure out how to respond.
Okay. And I can tell you as the DM one truth about this world and your situation, and that is that none of you have a ship.
Do not have a ship. Okay. So I'm going to roll insight, because the thing is, Devo's very good at convincing people of things.
Right.
But he doesn't always know how to play a situation.
Sure. Why don't you... I guess insight would be to try to read everybody else's reactions in the room.
Yeah.
Okay, give me an insight roll.
A 9 total, 5 plus 4.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really enough to sort of telepathically figure out whatever. Okay, I'll resolve it like this. Amber, Devo starts looking at you really weird.
Okay, I look at him back weird.
Great. Zooks, what are you doing?
I don't have a ship.
Oh.
I just don't have a ship. I swim a lot.
Right.
And I've never.
You're
had,
sounding
you know, like
just, is your dad is the voice first. Or is this, this is Argo. You're sounding a bit daddy, a little Argo-y.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There we
I
go.
I don't have a ship.
You don't.
Acting.
You.
I don't have a boat. I don't have a canoe.
Right.
I don't have. I don't have a. Anything.
A dinghy.
A stingery.
Sure.
I don't.
Okay, but you don't have your own personal ship. The three of you as a crew have a communal ship, or what's the situation?
Hey, we ain't got a ship.
Oh.
We do not have a ship now. We
Except for friendship.
Okay.
This is...
We wait to get ship until the job, but we have... We have a hypothetical ship. We have ship.
I mean, we've all got a hypothetical ship.
Well, we just need to get it now.
But a lot of people don't even want a ship. And we do. So we've started down the path.
Yeah.
We're looking for someone to give a ship
We're ready for a ship.
That is nothing.
The three best days of your life.
Yeah.
They say, have you heard this, Gubby? Three best days of your life. The day you buy a ship, the day you sell your ship, and the day you decide it would be good to have a ship. It's a distant third, but it is up there.
What is the fourth?
The seeing a mama puppy give birth to a bunch of little other puppies.
That is nice.
All right.
Do you want to do six more?
I don't want her to do
just
six more.
That was the top 10?
Listen. I like the three of you. I do.
I could keep listing days.
That good days, yes.
There's sink a ship and then get the insurance.
Right.
This is probably another one.
And this is all revealing days. A lot of important personality stuff that I'm ba-da-ba-ba-ba loving. And I just, again, the promise is there. Potential, trust, respect, loving it. But you can't really take on wet work without a ship within which to get wet. So... you know what? I've got a phenomenal business idea. You've done it again, Ravi. I don't have to fill these positions until the end of the week. So, how about this as the final part of your interview? You all have 48 hours to acquire a ship. Any which way you can, except illegal ways, because I do need actual paperwork, no stealsies or hurtsies. You do need to acquire one legally. And how you do that, I will leave that up to you. I don't know your finances. You could take on unbrokered work somewhere in the city. I will warn you, that can be precarious. But you have 2 days, and if you can come back here and show me proof of your ship and that the ship is seaworthy... The job's yours. Does that sound fair?
Sounds awesome. Sounds like a chance for us to bond, chance for us to get to meet people.
Yes.
Awesome.
There's so many good things about this idea. I'm stoked out of my gourd.
They have gourds? Wait, do we have gourds under the sea, Griffin?
Yes, sea gourds.
Okay.
That if you ever ask me a question like that for the rest of this fucking season, the answer is going to be yes, sea blank.
Okay, great.
Sounds good. That'll eat up some time for sure.
Great. He eyes you all. He puts his hand in. Let's do a little hands in. And I know this is a little early.
Where do we get a ship? Do you know this?
Where do you get a ship? Traditionally, you buy one, used or new. The gills are filled with ships. Some contractors
ready
to hang up.
Do you have a ship?
Do I have a ship? Do I have a ship?
That we could buy.
You want to buy my ship? You want to buy...
I thought that would save time.
You want to buy my Sea Bugatti? No offense, but if you are sitting here trying to get a job as a blue span contractor, you do not have the kind of fungible assets required before to see Bugatti. But I mean, how much money you got?
Griffin, how much money do we
not
have?
Not much. No. Let's say functionally zero.
Yeah, that would have been a wild thing if Kermit had been like, you open your pockets and there's exactly enough to buy a boat in an episode.
There's a boat amount.
There's just a voucher that says one boat.
One boat plus tax.
It was the weirdest thing. That first episode was only 27 minutes long.
Roll a just a charisma check.
Me?
Yeah. You ask a question. I think he genuinely... 13, okay. He genuinely wants to test you with this, right? So he's not just going to up and tell you how to do what you want to do. He wants to make sure that you can operate in this city, because that is just as important a skill here as, you know, any other sailing know-how. But he says, all right, listen, Sea Bugatti, way out of your price range. But if I were in your shoes, I would look for something used. And if I were for real in your shoes, I would look for something very, very, very used. So I would turn your eyes away from the lofty dry docks down here in the gills, and I would look more in a sort of junkyard-esque space, something of a fixer-upper, because that is probably going to be much more attainable for you in the now 47 hours and 56 minutes remaining.
All right, let's go. We got this. We got it.
Just in the way you said that, Justin, I was picturing just Amber standing up so quickly the chair fell over and walking out of the room.
Like, that's basically, yes. Okay. Amber stands out, walks up there, other
room. Okay, Ravi puts his hand back out. I thought we were going to do a go team. Okay, you
yes,
all.
Go team.
Nope, that's you're right. It's too early for that. You go follow Amber, and I'll see you
looks
all.
Looks like part of our team already goes.
Yes, so. So the three of you step out of the Blue Span brokerage offices and out into the gills, which is the just huge dock district of the city down at its base. And it's basically just a huge city-sized moon pool with ships sort of bobbing lazily in their registered docking spots. And you just see countless seafarers loading cargo and patching up hulls and embarking on excursions, sinking beneath the waters. And this district, the Gills, is the newest sort of infrastructural expansion for Founders Wake. It's just a big half-dome structure that is just clean, and it offers these wide porthole views out into the oceanic expanse that's just full of these luminous starfish. And you just see hundreds of ships in all directions, vessels of varying shapes and sizes and colors and functions. All promising adventure to anyone brave enough to crew them. You all have 2 days to secure your own ship and your future employment with the brokerage. So.
All right. Y'all try to come up with something. Yeah. I got an idea. We'll try it. We'll run it down. If it doesn't pan out, we're no worse for wear.
You have a plan?
She's walking away. I'm headed down to Joshy's Knuckle.
Okay.
I'm following.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet. They'd have ships, right? Brilliant.
We're gonna go down to the go to the Cloaca. That's our kind of hangout.
Holy shit! It's called what?
Excuse me. Cloaca.
Cloaca. It's where me and the other Fanners hang out.
All right.
Hang out in your Cloaca.
Don't Google Cloaca. Don't Google Cloaca. Hey, everyone!
Kind of a one-stop shop for birds, if you know what I mean.
It's where birds do everything.
It's where
birds have mouth, where food goes, and Cloaca, where everything else leaves. Jesus. All right.
Sharks. Well, let's not use the back door to the Cloaca.
All right. No, I like the fact that Joshy's Knuckle has somewhere called the Cloaca. Okay, you all head toward the Crystal Ascension then, which is the sort of huge lift, the sort of vertical highway that connects the different districts of Founders Wake. Joshi's Knuckle is immediately above the gills and is a sort of unintentional, weird, leftover piece of the district above it that some sort of shadier characters moved into and kind of said, hey, this is our spot. So if there's something that you need that you can't find elsewhere or legally, Joshi's Knuckle's going to be able to get that for you. But also, there's cool stuff there, too. There's a lot of exciting food opportunities for you. The city makes sure that your food and all of your sort of needs are covered. But Joshi's Knuckle's where you go if you want, you know, something other than some filler fish and seaweed for dinner. They got spices. They got when you come off the Crystal Ascension and step foot into Joshi's Knuckle, it is very humid because they probably don't have access to the city's core ventilation apparatus. But also, there's just a lot of smells for that very same reason. Not necessarily bad smells, just strong smells.
I'm just gonna tell you, Devo loves it.
Yeah, sure. Devo, this is probably sensory overload for Devo, who was cloistered his whole life. So you go into Joshi's Knuckle, and where's the cloaca? This is somewhere that I imagine Amber knows her way around Joshi's Knuckle.
You tell me where the you just made up Joshi's Knuckle. You tell me where the cloaca is.
Hey, bud,
it's to the left.
You just
what do you want me to say?
You just made up the cloaca.
Okay, it's to the right.
Oh,
you tricked me there. What are we talking about?
Find it if you didn't know where you're going.
It's like a basically kind of a clubhouse, like a rundown sort of clubhouse. There's some sandbags that have been propped up to sort of form a makeshift like punching dummy. There's some open open space towards the back where, you know, training such as it is,
okay,
can happen. But it's like it's as much a hangout as it is sort of a gym, but it's halfway between the two, I'd say.
Okay, so this is a very common haunt for Amber, it sounds like.
She is very well known. She probably has the longest tenure here, but there will be other Finners hanging around, or else, sure, this will be a pretty pretty bunch of dead ends.
Yeah, sure. You walk in and you see a lot of familiar faces, and they you don't get the same response you usually get, and you assume maybe at first it's because of sort of the company that you're keeping, which, well, we can leave the sort of the meet cute between the three of you up in the air until later on. You assume that's what it is, but everybody kind of whispers and looks at you nervously a little bit, Amber, as you enter the establishment.
Give me a name. Who's there? Give me the first person I see.
Chauncey is there. Chauncey's a big, lovable, just goober. You got.
All right, I walk over to Chauncey and I punch him straight in the stomach, unarmed strike.
Okay, go ahead and roll your attack roll here.
It's 21.
Oh.
17 plus 4.
He's dead.
Wait, where did you roll that? Did you roll that in the... Oh, you did. Yeah. Oh, weird. I didn't get the notification.
The D&D
beyond that. Shit. Chauncey, Chauncey fucking dies.
Oh, no. He was level 1, no. too.
Roll damage on Chauncey.
That's 5 damage.
Yeah. Chauncey doubles over and falls down and says,
oh, come on.
Shit. I'm sorry, Chauncey. I thought... You gotta be ready. This is what I've been telling y'all. You gotta be ready for at any moment. What have we been training for? If I'm able to sucker punch you in the gut, you go down like a little sack of tapioca. It's embarrassing.
Were you trying to dislodge a bit of food from his throat?
No, I'm just trying to keep them on their toes. You know, people don't see blink sharks for a long time, and they start to think blink sharks were never real, and it's impossible to keep people ready for when they do come back, and they will.
They're back.
Amber, I am confused. You are worried that the blink sharks will come and punch them in the tummy?
No, Devo, it's an awareness, you know? I want them to be ready at any moment for some sort of attack, be it blink shark or
a tummy punch
a tummy punch, sure, yeah, whatever. They just got to be ready. I'm trying to keep these boys hard.
Chauncey, are you ready now?
Chauncey looks up from the ground, Amber, and looks up, but doesn't look at you. Seems to be looking a little bit higher than your head, and your keen monk awareness sort of picks up on that. So I'm going to give you advantage on this dexterity saving throw you're about to make.
Oh, cool. Let's crank one of those out. Looks like we got a 19.
Shit.
And a 20.
Jesus Christ.
Pretty good.
Okay.
I don't have crazy modifiers, by the way. That was
these are just really
17 plus 2.
Yeah, they're good ass rolls. Okay.
By the way, folks, this year we are rolling in Dungeons and Dragons Beyond.
I'm seeing
everything.
And there
will be 100% accountability.
Yep. No cheatsies. I mean, I can
There's
still...
never been a cheatsie in history, but now there definitely won't be anymore.
You just sense from above you in the rafters hopping down the figure of a big, burly man. You can smell his sweatsuit as he comes diving down with a flying dragon kick out towards your head, and you hear him yell, "Vibe check!" And he comes flying in your direction. And with this dexterity saving throw, I'm just going to say he is at your mercy. What happens next is completely in your hands.
I'm going to give him a quick chop to the throat.
Okay. You're not even going to have to roll for that with a dexterity check like that. You sidestep his kick and swing an extended open hand upwards and catch him right in the throat. So it's more like vibe check. And he hits the floor and rolls like 8 feet and crashes into a couple of bar stools that are reduced to flinders and tenders. And he is laying still. And Zooks, Devo, I don't know why you'd ever have had a chance to meet old Uncle Joshy, but you see a man who is advanced in years and looks dead on the ground now, and he is fully motionless.
Okay, we need to agree on something, because there is some nomenclature we need to settle up, because he was referred to alternatively as Old Joshy and Uncle Joshy, and you seem to have gone with Old Uncle Joshy.
He can be any sort of arrangement of the four words.
Okay, perfect. All right,
wouldn't
listen.
He technically be older?
Yes,
Uncle
oldest
Joshy?
Uncle Joshy.
Joshy, you embarrass yourself? That was shameful, but I love that shit. Everyone look at Joshy. That's what we need. We need that kind of awareness, everybody. Joshy tried to kick my ass out of nowhere, and everyone sees he embarrassed himself pretty badly, right? But he wants to keep me ready. That's love.
Amber.
Joshy's not going to be caught unawares.
Amber, is he
when they
dead?
Come back.
Is he dead?
How the hell do I know? I'm not
sure. Should I try to heal him?
Yeah, actually, you got that ability? That's cool as shit. Let me see.
Yes, let me see what I can do. And so Devo takes out a little, like, atomizer, a little spray bottle.
Oh, like, okay.
And sprays in his mouth. And this is, an atomized
Is this the version. Salt? The prestige salt?
The prestige, yeah.
Okay. For folks who didn't listen to those setup episodes... you should, but also this is a sort of all-in-one spell regent that is essentially created from ether sea water, distilled out, and this salt is just the leftover.
And a limited resource.
And a very, very limited resource. So I don't know how you get your salt. I imagine it is like apportioned out by either the city or the church or whoever, the parish rather. But yeah, you just have some salt.
And so he sprays and closes his eyes and whispers, "Be well, my friend."
Okay.
And casts. Oh, that's going to be a plus healing for 4 points.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're all level one. 4 points is fairly significant. I marked off your spell slot there for you.
Yes,
I'm gonna be watching
that
shit.
Well.
Like a hawk. Okay. With that, he hops to, and you see you see Chauncey look up at you from the floor? And Chauncey's like, hey.
Sorry, I was not worried you were dead.
Oh, no, it's cool. It's, no, nah, man, it's totally
cool.
He is
very old.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, it's not a big deal. He stands up and you just see him hobble through these like saloon doors into a back room, and you hear him just but man, old Uncle Josh, he's doing great. He stands up, you see him sort of grab his Adam's apple and kind of like readjust it back into place, and he says,
your vibe's looking pretty strong there, Amber. I'll be honest, I was worried about your vibe, whether you've been harnessing it, keeping it sharp.
Check my vibe.
Yep, but it's
it's disrespectful.
It's on honestly. Point. And you there, little guy. I like that. That
he is
that
not
felt...
little. He is 6'2", sir.
Oh, he's 6'2". Hey, you, 6'2" guy. I like that. My name's old Uncle Joshy. I know everyone's exact height just by looking at him. It's one of my many psychic powers.
Enchanté.
Yep, you're 5'10". That guy over there, 4'4". I know everything about heights, and it's one of my mini powers. Hey, Amber, you're looking great. Great chop to my throat. I'm going to feel that one in the morning and every subsequent morning until the day I die.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to strike so hard, but I did want to teach you a lesson.
Lesson learned.
Hey, Chauncey, are you okay, bud?
Chauncey's doing great.
He's in the back room. You can't see him, but he says
that's
he's
our
doing
first
great.
T-shirt.
Yeah. What brings you to our little cloaca here? Oh, boy, it sounds bad every time I say it.
Well, we're in need of a ship, and I was going to see if any of these nerds had one they could, you know, lend to me.
Mm. Any of you nerds got ships?
They all shake their heads.
Yeah. All right, y'all, it's worth a shot. Let's go.
He says, hold.
One moment. May I interject? Surely there are ships used in the training of the shark slayers.
Listen to him.
Yeah.
Listen to fancy training.
Yeah. We don't.
It's fucking class where you ever hear this? Training.
Yeah, we don't really work like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. We tried. There was a good stretch, you know? There's a good stretch where we were really deep in it, you know? We were really always ready and waiting. And, of course, Joshy completely unintentionally helped me to discover my
hey,
sort of
now, hey,
for this
now,
sort of
come
thing.
On now.
Come on. Don't. Hey.
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 Not again, all right? I can't. My chopping hand's sore.
My throat is pretty sore also, yeah.
I bet it is.
No ships here. Don't got the port space for it, but,
And we're not exactly flush with cash. There's been not a lot of people signing up to prepare for battle for the inevitable return of the blink.
Sure, sure. I would loan you some money.
You know that. Why would I be saying that to
Joshy?
Oh,
you're right, yes.
I'm absolutely not saying that to you.
Just a reminder of how poor we are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'd loan you some money if that were even remotely within my sort of character. But that ain't me, and you know that.
Hey, Zooks, Devo, he is holding out, but there's no point in challenging him because he'll just dig deeper.
Oh. No, but... Very well.
He's loaded, but he's not going to give you a cent.
But so threatening him with violence, like pointing a crossbow at him, would be counterproductive.
Loving this guy. This is great stuff over here.
I don't know. Point the crossbow at him.
Yeah, point the crossbow at me. Let me check your fucking vibe.
No, wait. Before violence, you seem like someone who knows how to get things, where things are, who has things. A connector, yes.
Yeah, make a persuasion check with advantage because you healed him.
Hell yeah!
We'll see how much he's willing to.
That's a 24.
Oh yeah, that's plenty right? fine. Yeah, unless you crit
and an 8.
Okay, we'll take the 24 on that one. He says, "I'll be honest, I'm still feeling pretty zonked, pretty zooted from that spell you cast on me, and I like you. I like you." I like you with the crossbow. That's fun stuff. Give me a minute.
Thank you.
You see him hop behind a bar surprisingly sprightly for a gentleman who just got throat chopped. And he picks up a tone wheel, which is sort of this season's equivalent of the Stone of Far speech. It sort of hums. You change its sort
of Griffin,
frequency.
It's not too late. We're setting all this up. Just say a cell phone.
Oh, shit. Yeah. It's basically a cell phone that you tune to. It's
shell
more
phone.
Of a ham.
Shell
oh,
phone.
Fuck, that's
God
good.
Damn it.
Okay. Some people call them shell phones. Damn it. That's really good. He tunes it to this frequency and you hear it sort of hum. And he talks into it. He says, "Hey, Mona. Yeah. 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 I need a favor. Yeah, I'm going to send some folks your way. You're going to cut them a nice deal, okay? Okay. Oh, you are a catbird. I'll talk to you later." And he walks back over. He says, "Okay, up in the gunnel is a junkyard called Desdemona's Hall. You head up there, Mona's going to hook you up right."
Is it H-A-U-L or H-U-L-L?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like a play on words. It's like it says H blank blank L on the sign, and then it's up to you to decide if it's clever or not.
Oh.
Head up there, tell him old Joshy sent you, and she's gonna get you set up just right. Now, will it be a fine vessel that they'll talk about in legend? Is it gonna make the cover of Cool Ships Monthly? Probably, definitely not. But what do you need a ship for anyway, Amber?
I'm taking on a little bit extra work.
Down at the brokerage?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if you need work, there's plenty of opportunities here on the knuckle. You just got to know where to look and also be okay with the fact that you might die or be double-crossed at any moment. When I say it like that, it actually sounds like a bad thing.
You can hear it, right? Yeah.
All right. Well, this is your crew.
We're working together. We're kind of it's a three-way kind of deal.
Why do you not just say yes?
Well, I don't want to make it seem like y'all roll up to me. I feel like we're kind of co.
But then we would still be your crew. Yes, just say yes.
He says,
"I mean the." The distinction. This is a fun guy. I love this guy. Yeah. They're my crew.
I mean, you all seem great. I love healing guy and crossbow guy, but, you know, why didn't you pick a crew from right here? And as he says that, Chauncey comes out of the back room with a tray with a bunch of, like, cups of tea on it. He says, "Hey, everybody, I got you." And he trips immediately and, like, just goes flying everywhere. And tea goes launching and cups go shattering. And Chauncey starts crying. And immediately Uncle Joshy is like, "You know what? I'm getting a lot of questions answered for me immediately by the actions of the space. You go with God. This is great stuff." And
I want to make a dexterity saving throw to see if I can help Chauncey from falling down.
Sure, sure.
No. It's a 4 + 3, a 7.
Okay. You go to help him, and you end up just kicking broken cup stuff into his face.
Man.
He's like, this is like the opposite of healing, bro.
Chauncey, I am sorry.
He stands up and he says, "I'll go get some more, but you guys will probably be gone by the time I get back out." And he goes back in the back room.
I'm glad that we've introduced our first tragic character so early on.
Yeah, for sure. He's going to definitely be, you guys were best friends with him in the past that you forgot about. And he's incredibly integral to the world lore. And he's going to be the champion of everything. He's going to be the one that can use the sword that is made out of holy light. So,
you said we were
well, we've done it before.
True.
What? We're heading to the gunnel, correct?
Yes, the gunnel is the very top level. So,
not quite yet.
Oh, not quite yet. Okay.
No, because you all look over and see that Zooks is staring at a sea photograph on the wall.
Oh,
of the and he just can't.
Sorry, did you say it's just away. A picture of the sea?
It's a sea picture.
It's a sea picture. It's like a photograph trap, but it's in the sea.
Oh, okay. Great.
And he's staring at this, and he turns around, and he says,
I have heard so much about this hero. Mint Clackleroy.
Stop, we're leaving. He said, nope. How dare you mention that name in this book? Get the fuck out of here.
He was killed by Blink Sharks.
Get out of here. We don't use that name in this establishment.
Wait, it's his son,
Zooks. I am not kidding with you. And I just happen to know your name because it's one of my many psychic powers. I also know that you are 6'9". Get the hell out of my sight.
Nice.
Before we go and negotiate for this ship, I would like to talk to the smartest person I know. They will give us guidance. It is what they do. They will tell us the best way to get the ship from this Mona.
I'm not sure how I can tell you anything I haven't already told you.
Oh, Zeus, but this is very funny. It is not you. I did not mean you. I meant my guide, my friend. We need to go, my teacher, if you will. And so we will go to the school and we will talk to my teacher.
Misunderstood. Sorry.
Okay. Are you all cool going to the schoolhouse up in the ballast?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Another trip on the Crystal Ascension, and you step off of the sort of top of this city tower, which is the ballast, which was the first sort of structure part of the city. It is essentially an ark, a gigantic ship that has been repurposed as the main hub for this city. It's got the ballast, which is the seat of government in the city, as well as a few like sort of essential communal properties, including the schoolhouse where you have been staying, Devo, and you all make your way there. And who else should open the door? But Brother Seldom, who smiles and he says, "Devo, you've brought friends."
Ah, bonjour, Sally. These are my best friends. This is Amber, and this is Zooks.
Ah,
hello.
A pleasure, a pleasure.
Kelisai.
Yes, Kelisai to you.
Zooks is a coral person.
Yeah. Devo, like, wicked, yeah.
Oh, okay. It was new to me. We need your help, your guidance. We need, I've never asked, do you have a ship?
Ah, do I have a ship? You want to know about my sea Bugatti? Just kidding. I couldn't possibly. I don't possess a ship. I really don't have a need for one. I also don't know how I would secure dock space for one. I suppose for field trips for the younglings. You know what? Now that you mention it, I'd love a ship.
Hey, so this guy's of the church?
He has long since defected from the church. He is a sort of non-denominational instructor at this point. This is not a religious facility whatsoever.
How does Devo know him?
So this is a great question. The answer is the broadcasts were part of what inspired Devo's defection from the church. And so when he left the church, he sought out Brother Seldom.
Yes, Brother Seldom's broadcast, which were sort of the narrative framing device for the prologue episodes. He's something of an educational DJ, blasting out these lessons and what have you via the tone wheel.
He's kind of the Bill Nye.
So he's based on me.
He's based on Clint McRoy, yes. No, I don't possess a ship. I'm guessing you need one for your attempt to join the brokerage.
Yes, we are supposed to buy one from a Mona. Do you know this person?
I don't. This is a big city. I mean, do you need money, Devo?
No, we will be negotiating. So I assume money. Yes, I think we probably will need money, Amber.
That was great. I loved it.
A lot.
You did a whole thing there. I mean, I don't have a lot of money, Devo. I can loan you.
No, I do not want to take your money.
Oh. How much? Hey, Griff. Yes. I guess what I need to know from you currently, some key information that we don't have, is like, how many people's guts boats? Because it seems like...
underwater, maybe we were thinking it's like a car, you know what I mean? But maybe it's not like a car, because so far nobody's got boats. And I'm kind of thinking, like, how many...
Well, it feels like we're...
Who's got some boats?
It feels like we're in New York, Justin. We're walking around knocking on doors saying, who's got a car?
Exactly. And like, a car? It feels like, I don't have a boat license.
What are you talking about?
I need a boat for?
I can walk everywhere.
But everybody wants one, because there's only one model, I guess, the Sea Bugatti.
The Sea Bugatti is what you aspire to. This city is self-contained, and the Aether Sea is incredibly dangerous. It is a magically infused, uncharted ocean, right? A lot of people don't go out there because they don't want to fucking die. So that is why the gills is such an important part of town, and why the brokerage exists.
Is this like, would this be like wandering around asking people if they had a submarine? Would it be like asking people, I mean, I guess if they had a real boat in right now here? Because I guess that it would be wild for me to just start randomly asking people I know if they had a boat. I would probably have about the same hit ratio.
I mean, I'm thinking about it like a future space station colony situation where people live there and have lives there, but they don't necessarily want to go out into the vast, deadly vacuum of space. It's essentially the same thing. Like, people live their lives in the city, and it's a huge city with lots of stuff to do. But, like, if you need something from outside the city, whether it's, like, reclaiming some sort of salvage or you need a ship. And there's a select few people who actually, you know, have the gumption to do that. That is whole conceit of the brokerage. So, yeah,
So we will need a lot of money.
A decent amount of money, yes.
This leads me to my first question, Sally. When we are negotiating, is this one of those circumstances where you take the first offer?
I mean, how much money do you have, Devo?
Oh, this many? Since my DM has not told me, and I do not know how money works, and perhaps we are using some shiny shells or some shit.
Hey, what's the money here? What do you call them?
The money here was essentially created by old Uncle Joshy, and it's called Lux, and it stands for luxuries. So essentially it is a currency that sort of first formed around that. A ship, you would guess a ship costs about... A ship costs about 20 lux, you'd say.
I'm just going to go ahead and say Devo has no lux.
Yeah, no, but none of you have lux between you.
So if you could give us 20 lux, sir, that would be great.
Is this
and
a lot?
Kind of leans over to Amber and says, should I pull out my crossbow to emphasize the point to this gentleman?
You know what? Save it. I'll let the impulse, but save it.
Okay, I'll save it for the negotiations.
He roots around his pockets, and you see him say, I've got like a few lux. I could give you a loan, but I don't.
No. Listen, Joshy steered us toward Mona. Mona's going to get us all set up. I don't want to be beholden to this nerd.
Okay, but I would say that it's very doubtful, and I am new to this, obviously, but I do not believe that Mona's opening offer will be free for zero money.
Yeah, but why get indebted to somebody and then have to get indebted to somebody else when we still don't have enough for the ship?
Well, we...
Oh, so you actually expect us to pay this loan back?
Oh,
sir?
We would pay Sally back. This is not the question.
It would be. It is a loan. I tell you what. He goes inside for a second, and he comes back out, and he is holding a plate, a silver plate with a set of scales on them, with a hand sort of behind the scales, which you recognize as sort of the symbol of benevolence. Mm-hmm. He says, and he hands it to you, Devo, and he says, if you need collateral, you can give them this. I have no need for artifacts of the past like this. It would be cool to get it back, but here, take it. And he also reaches in and pulls out a little pellet that he hands to you, which you know is the prestige salt that
nice.
You require. So mark that spell slot off back.
I would like to try to sleight of hand that if we could. Oh, no, it's a 12 total.
Yeah, I mean, you guys clock that he's he just got magical salt from
his... But we're trying to be sneaky about it. Let's be clear. Neither Selly nor Devo are sneaky, but we're trying.
Hey, man, I rolled a 19 for Seldom. So
oh, shit. He did so pretty, it's my fault.
He did pretty good. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, then let's say that Selly is trying to hide that he has this stuff, and Devo has only recently become aware that everyone does not have access to it like he did in the cloister.
Salt, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he kind of forgot that he was supposed to be sneaky, and he's like,
he's so disappointed in you, too. He is very frustrated. Cool. Do you have anything? Was that all?
Say thank you.
Oh, thank you. This is all. I will probably not be back for dinner, but if you could save me some.
I shall do my best, but I'm a growing boy.
This is a good one.
Well, see ya.
Okay, do we have
you
to
see
a full...
some Fortnite dances? I've been learning Fortnite dances from the
kids. I didn't realize that this was gonna be the campaign where we had to definitely say goodbye to everyone every single time.
So the Crystal Ascension platform reaches its peak, and you all step foot into the sort of sprawling industrial complex called the Gunnel.
I wanted to ask, Griffin.
Yeah.
The Gunnel here is located at the top of the kind of structure, right?
Founder's Wake is built into a cliff. This on a cliff's face, this is like the top of the cliff where it's, things kind of sometimes fall from the... surface world and storm and debris and all that jazz.
What is
so? This is the closest point to the surface.
Yeah, for sure.
What's and the visibility can, like? Are there like windows? Are there viewports? Are there?
Oh yeah, I mean it is a bunch of different large buildings connected by tunnels, and we can just imagine full blown like glass tunnels, like in an aquarium or something like that. And when you look up, you can see this halocline natural barrier that is keeping the enormous chunks of flotsam and jetsam at bay, and you can see these occasional flashes of sort of soft green light coming through the cracks as sort of this unnatural lightning from the storm cast its light, hundreds of meters below the surface of the ocean. As you make your way through the gunnel, you do see a facility where there's a lot of junk just kind of scattered around and half buried in the seafloor outside, and that is Mona's Hall. And you walk inside and see just like ships stacked up hither and yon, and they all look like they've never really worked. There are maybe a few that stand out that still have some paint on them, but a lot of them have been sort of rusted into oblivion. And there are actually some new ships that have whatever the equivalent of a boot on them is, because you can tell from sort of the signage around here that Mona also does some like rescue towing services. She sees you enter. She is a small young woman. She's wearing actually tone wheels on her ears, which she kind of sighs as she sees the three of you walk in to her establishment, and she takes them off and says, are you guys like like Joshy's friends or whatever?
Enchanté. Oui. Je suis Diva Le Mans, Amber Gris, Zooks.
None of the words that you've said so far have registered as like words that I understood to me so far.
This is fair. Yes.
Hey, Devo, may I?
Oh, yes.
Kelisai Guppy, Josh sent us down here for a ship. He said you could help us get set up. Now, come on.
What was the last thing you said?
Now, come on.
Roll a persuasion check for me, Amber.
Her fucking strong suit.
Yeah.
I do you like did. How you basically pushed the persuader out of the way.
Face out of, you drop kicked the face and said, I got this.
He was doing so bad. It's a 9 though, so I guess win some, lose some. Is that applicable here?
Could Zooks help?
No, I'll give you advantage because you got sort of old Uncle Joshy's endorsement. So right. Roll one more.
19 minus one, 18.
All right, yeah, with an 18. She laughs and says, you guys are great. I sense a lot of promise and whatever. You all need a ship, huh? Well, yes. What's your budget? Like, what are you working with?
This? And Diva holds out the plate. This
Here's
plate?
The thing. We don't need to own it.
What?
We don't need to own it. We just need a loaner so we can get started. And then we'll get it back to you. This is just a kind of introductory thing. So we just need to borrow it. And we could trade in, like, you know, favors or whatnot. I'm sure you need something from the deep. We're going to be out there, you know, mixing it up.
Okay.
What can we get you?
When you mention favors, her ears kind of perk up. And she takes a look at the three of you and says, are you guys, like experienced in the face of, like, danger and stuff like that?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So two of you are.
That's when I shine.
Okay. He's modest over there.
No, I have never been in danger.
Oh, boy. Okay.
What a kidder.
He's cute. I have magic powers.
Okay.
I can do this, and Diva makes light. This?
She goes, okay, and she makes light. Who gives a shit? Like,
you can whatever. Make light?
Yeah, dude, like, whatever.
Wait a minute, Griffin.
What?
I thought magic was very limited here.
Yeah, that's weird, right? Oh, shit.
What are the odds?
Oh, man. Just don't tell anyone, okay? It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. I can't believe I just made light. Oh, that sucks. Anyway, whatever.
Hey. It's not a big deal. We're just all friends. Yeah. See, now I just made light of the situation.
Oh, that's great. I've got an opportunity that is potentially lucrative, almost certainly very deadly, and so I couldn't really recommend anyone that I knew for it that I'd be sad about if they passed away.
Yes.
But the three of you seem like you could really use some help and a ship. And
we are expendable.
Yeah, for sure. You definitely seem that way. So give me a second. She pulls out a card.
The audience has not started doing fan drawings of us yet. And so if we die, we just introduce new characters.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, great. She's not listening, clearly. She walks over to a file cabinet and pulls out a small card. And she writes down something on it and hands it to you, Amber. And it says J117 on it. And you sort of intuit that this is a...
Oh, I've seen this. Now you
bingo!
Now you write a number on the card and slide it back. And that's our counter offer. I say we go with W1.
She says, yeah, some dude came in here earlier today and offered a job and asked if I had a salvage crew for it and wouldn't tell me what the job was all about. And so I was like, no way, dude. And he was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes. And so he got all fussy and said, if I changed my mind, to come to this dock space. And so I would get a commission on this one. And if you guys can do this job and survive, come on back and bring me the paycheck, I guess, and then the ship is all yours. You can take your pick. We got some real junkers in here, but, you know, maybe I can give a little spit shine.
I shall warn you, I only have a little bit of blood, and so if I get hurt, I would. I assume that's what hit points are, the amount of blood
sure,
I have
sure.
in my body.
Yeah, it's 9 bloods.
Yeah, I only have a little bit of blood, so if I get hit...
Yeah, it's you know, he seemed like a pretty stand-up dude, except for the part where he wouldn't tell me anything about the job, and how cagey he was. So that's about the best I can offer. We don't have any sort of there's not like a summer promotion going on where you can get a ship for a cool plate.
It's a very cool plate.
It's great. Great plate. Love it.
Do you want to hold on to the plate and you give us...
No, I'm more of a bowl girl.
What's that mean?
I like bowls instead.
But the plate is just a flat bowl when you think about it.
I am sick of this dude's vibe.
Amber, now should I do the crossbow? Yeah. I don't know. You know, you got just your gut. Okay, I'll wait.
She is just looking at the three of you talking to each other like that and just slowly kind of puts her headphones back on. And
okay, let us go to this dock space. We get the money. We get the boat. We get the job. We are happy.
So you all make your way back down to the docks, and the Crystal Ascension sort of lets out at the center of just all of these different radials that are lettered and numbered, and you follow down until you reach spot J17. And at like even when you're still pretty far from the spot, you can see this incredibly gaudy, like, turbo yacht. It looks like a, what's that design that's like on the old like paper cups from the 90s that everybody's just crazy about?
The Dixie it's like cups?
Not
that I know the one you're talking about with like the
yeah, there's just like a
blue
splash
splatter
of blue paint with like
jazz in the called jazz.
It's a jazz like sort of design on it, and there's a name across this ship, across this streak of color, and it says Dreams of Deborah. And you walk towards it and you see a very nervous looking Brynar who is walking around, and he sees the three of you approach and says, yeah, can I help you?
Are you the cagey man that is looking for some kind of sketchy reclamation thing?
I don't like to think of myself as cagey, but I return to the question, can I help you?
Friend Brynar!
Yep.
Hello!
Hi there.
How are you?
Once again, no, you do not let the face talk to the person.
If you want to roll a roll a wisdom check for me, Zooks. We'll see if you know this guy.
No,
holy
I know.
Shit! A two. You've never seen.
That's a two.
You have never seen this Brynar in your life.
It's obvious. It's
and nobody
a Brynar,
you know has
though.
Ever seen.
Yeah,
either.
this is a fucking stranger.
And once I meet him, I'm going to immediately forget.
Yeah,
him,
maybe.
Right?
He says, "Oh, did you guys get the? Are you the crew? Did Mona send you?
Yeah, we heard you got something that needs doing."
Yeah, that's
you do
about...
not want people to know about this. It is a secret.
Hey, can I talk to you for a second?
Yes.
I love the enthusiasm.
Oui.
But when you're talking to people that are maybe a little bit under the table, you know?
Yes.
It's better maybe to say a little bit less.
Ah.
Because that way it makes you seem cool.
Okay.
Like you know what you're doing and you're not a complete clasper.
Okay, let me try again.
Hey, yes. Yeah, you guys. Hey, man, do over for sure. Go for okay. it.
Thank you. Could you ask me the question?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did Mona send you guys?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Real good.
And just gives a thumbs up back.
And
good
you are.
Thank you. I appreciate the feedback.
And you all are sort of experienced and sort of know your way around the ship?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Not really, but I'm sure my other two compatriots are really good at it.
Okay. I love you all seem very talented, and you're asking me literally no questions, which is awesome.
What do you need done?
Yes.
We got to go get something. Gotta go out there. Gotta go out there, get something.
Well, what do you need? Get it.
Roll a persuasion check for me.
I have to persuade him to tell me what the thing is that he wants us to do.
Yeah, he wicked doesn't want to tell you. Devo, I'll let you assist
thank
on
you.
This one.
What's this cat's name?
Oh, boy.
You haven't asked it yet.
That's how we got
it. Because he didn't want to give it. Mona said specifically he didn't want to give a name.
But she did say he was cagey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to do this. Zooks whips up the crossbow and points it right at the other Brynar's face.
Cool.
Cool. Okay.
And says, we really have a limited amount of time to deal with this, so would you go ahead and inform us of what it is you need us to do and maybe throw your name in there, too?
Hey, friend, I've never seen him do this. I'm kind of fucking flipping right now. You should.
Like now?
I don't know him that well, man. I'm kind of freaking out over here. And you should do what he says.
As you can see, this also indicates that we are people who get the job done. That yeah. we will stop at nothing, that you can trust us. So clearly, we are demonstrating our resourcefulness, our skills.
Roll an intimidation check for me, Zooks.
Okay, so let's see.
Roll with roll intimidation with advantage because everybody is kind of helping you out on this one.
All right, the first roll is a 13.
Okay.
And the second roll is... a 14.
Okay.
Better.
I think this guy crumples under an intimidation check in a way that he maybe wouldn't to a persuasion check, because you see him sort of like, he gets a little bit scared. He backs up a little bit. He was already pretty jumpy, and so this definitely pushed him over the edge. He said, okay, all right, fine. Put that down. Jesus. All right, my name's Guthrie. I'm an archaeologist. I was part of a crew that... mutinied on my last job, and I haven't had a chance to hire a new team, but there's this opportunity. There's an old gallery that's from an old hominine citadel, and it just fell through the Halocline. It's at the floor of the ocean, just a few hours from here, and we get there. I you know, recover what I can from the gallery, and I get back, and, you know, we probably won't hit any complications. It is in Corsair territory, so there, you know, we may have a pirate thing or two, but that's why I need the crew, and I can't sail this big, big, awesome ship by myself, so,
okay. Yeah. This seems fine to me. You say that there will probably be no complication, that there may be a pirate, but this is not for sure, and so it sounds fine to me.
Right, it could be a great job that you all, like, tell your kids about all the great times you had on it.
Okay.
We might become, like, best friends. Who knows?
Well, I already have two.
Amber, what do you think?
I think it fucking stinks, right? But I don't see as we got a lot of other options right now.
I meant, you know, should I shoot him or not?
No, sweetie. Do put the bow down, yeah.
Amber, roll an insight check for me. Based on your suggestion that something stinks.
10.
Nah, it's fine.
Oh, my mistake.
You see Guthrie nod, and somebody like drops a... Here's what I'll give you. Somebody like drops a box in like a fairly close by port. J-117 is like wicked far out from the Ascension, so this is like... not highly trafficked territory. So when he hears this sudden sound, he gets like kind of jumpy and looks around.
I would like to do a perception check if I could.
Okay.
Is he, and I don't know, Brynar, if clothes is the right terminology, but armor maybe. Does it look nice? Does
he
Guthrie...
he's wearing like a long white coat. A 22. Like
I got a nat 20.
Yeah. Oh, with a nat 20. Like, yeah, he is dressed well. I think that like Brynar fashion is, I mean, it's like any other fashion. It differs from person to person, but like, you know, he's not wearing rags, right? He is.
So he looks at home on the boat, right? We got this big gaudy boat.
He looks kind of like a nerd. You don't know if he looks at home on the boat, but he, you know, he is not. I don't know what you were trying to get there.
Like,
but he looks... He doesn't look rich. Like, he doesn't look... He's not wearing gold chains and diamond earrings and all
kinds
of stuff.
Okay, so we have this big, flashy, gaudy boat, and he is not dressed in a big,
dressed
flashy,
like a,
gaudy
like
manner.
He's dressed like a scientist, kind
of. Got it.
Okay. He says, okay, let's roll out. And he leads you over to the entrance hatch. On the ship, and he rolls it open and climbs inside and gestures for you to follow.
Amber,
Yeah.
I think we both agree that I don't think this is his boat, but it is our boat, and we do need this money. We are doing this job, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
What an awesome boat!
Oh, boy.
Zooks goes in.
Okay.
Follow the Brynar, huh?
Okay.
You all step foot into the ship, and he, you know, still looks pretty jumpy, but as you shut the hatch, he kind of relaxes a little bit. And he says, okay, the bridge is this way. And he goes and opens the door to the bridge. And he says, which one of you, is the pilot? Who knows how to, you know, control a ship?
Well, Zeus, do you know how to drive?
No. Swimmer here, remember?
Oh, Amber, you have boating experience.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
None of you know how to pilot a ship.
There's got to be a book. I want to look around for a book.
Hold on. I'm looking for a book. Let me roll for books.
Roll a perception check.
What's the difference between perception and investigation?
Okay, roll an investigation check because...
Thank fuck. Yeah. I got a 7 on my perception. Not a lot better. I got a 12 on investigation.
12 is enough. With a 12, you don't find a book, but you do see as Guthrie is starting to go off, like, why did Mona send you if you all can't pilot a ship? Like, what are you even fucking doing? As he's saying that, you see a hatch open up in the ceiling of the bridge behind him, and from it, a cube made out of what appears to be just bright white hard light drops down, and then it flashes red a few times, and then it starts spinning violently, and then it launches with tremendous force in your direction.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.